welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Lawrence Yu as a guest. Lawrence is the lead pastor of the Waypoint Church in Durham. Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks so much for coming.
My pleasure.
I'm very excited about the podcast with you. I know you as a person, and you're my friend and brother and co-worker for the kingdom of God. But this time, I really want to hear from you about your personal story. So in this episode, I really want to hear how you came to Christ and how you received the call from God to be a pastor and things like that. So can you tell us about your family background?
Sure. Well, currently I'm married to a woman named Gina Yu. She's a pediatric dentist. We have one wonderful son named Josiah. He's three, about to turn four, and just a wonderful boy that brings such delight to everybody. We've been married for about 6 years now, and been living in this whole time in Durham, North Carolina. I grew up, my parents are both from Korea. I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. First son, I have a younger sister named Jennifer who currently lives in California now. So I was born in Philadelphia, lived there for a while, moved to Atlanta, then moved to Florida where I did high school and college and all.
Great. Now, can you tell us about how you came to Christ? How did you become a follower of Jesus Christ?
So I grew up in the church. As most Korean Americans in America, Korean church is where culturally all the Korean people would go. So I grew up going to church, but to be completely honest with you, I hated it. Hated going to Korean church. I was in a small town mainly, so there weren't very many Korean people there. A lot of it was near Air Force Base and a Navy Base, a lot of military kind of situation. My understanding of Korean was more conversational, more of a little kid to an adult type Korean. So when the pastor would preach, I would never understand a word he said. You know, words like redemption, salvation, in Korean, I have no idea what those words are. So I never understood the sermon. So I hated going to church. I literally begged my parents every day, fought with them every Sunday morning. Why do I have to go to church? I don't even understand the message. Why do I have to go to church? I remember distinctly is about 7th or 8th grade, I finally convinced my mom that I don't have to go to church with her. So I stopped going to church with her. But to be completely honest with you, I think the foundation was laid in me. My parents have always professed. I grew up going to Korean church, so I always heard the gospel. I think the foundation was there. But I stopped going to church for a while. My sophomore year in high school, there was a girl named Sandy Presley. She would invite me to youth group every day. And she was annoying, but she was also very pretty, and she was a cheerleader, so I finally said yes. I went to youth group, and I met a man named Leighton Lane Lockett from Lubbock, Texas. And that's quite a name, I know. But he was passionate. He was crazy. He was fun. He loved Jesus. He loved people. And I just felt there was something different about him and the people that was there. Mm. Started going to youth group, but didn't really feel connected. It wasn't my type of crowd. Loved the youth ministry, but the kids in the youth group really just didn't know, didn't connect with. So I kind of stopped going. Well, one day I was out at lunch, happened to run into Leighton Lockett. He was at lunch, and he said, "Lawrence, I'm so glad I ran into you. I want you to know that you're coming with me, you and your best friend, and we're going on a retreat together. And it's all paid for by the church." And for me, that was a big deal. Financially, we were not well off. And to know that a church paid for me to go on a weekend away together was a huge deal for me. So I was moved by that. So I said yes. I actually found out later on that if Sandy actually set the whole thing up, Sandy paid for it herself. Wow. And she knew I wouldn't accept it if I knew it was from her. So she said the church paid for it. So I went on this retreat. Heard the gospel presented in such a real and relevant way that just spoke to me. And I was never the same ever since that day.
How old were you?
15.
15 years old?
15 years old.
When did you receive the call from God to become a full-time pastor?
It was my senior year of high school, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it was funny because growing up, I had to be a doctor or a lawyer. Those were my only two options, as you know, most Asian-American kids will say. Yes. Maybe an engineer also. But doctor or lawyer was what it was for me. So I was dead set on becoming a lawyer. But my senior year of high school, my youth minister left. He moved to took another position and basically left me in charge of the youth group. Mm. So I would preach and lead the middle school youth group, and I would preach at the high school youth group. I helped another church start our youth program and just felt like this is what I'm made to do. Mm. As I was doing that, I went to a conference, and I had a lot of the leaders there affirm the fact that they felt that I was called to ministry. And they prayed over me, and I just felt in my heart and knew at that moment that this is what I'm made to do with my life. I'm made to do vocational ministry. Hard, hard decision. My parents hated it. I still distinctly remember the day when I told my mom, no matter what, this is what I'm doing. I'm not going to Duke. I'm going to go to University of Florida, and I'm going to be a pastor. And I chose University of Florida because I had a full scholarship there, so that was a smart decision. Yeah. And my mom looked at me and said, all right, Lawrence, you want to be a pastor. They hated it, but finally she accepted it and says, well, you're Korean. You need to work on your Korean. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, if you want to be a pastor in America, you need to be better at Korean because you're never going to get a job at a non-Korean church. So, and your Korean's not good enough. So I still distinctly remember that, specifically my mom telling me that, yeah, if you're going to get if you want to work as a pastor, then you better get better at Korean.
Who was your most influential person in your life?
Oh, man. It's hard to answer that question because it's different seasons in your life. There's so many different people. Mainly because we're talking about it, I have to say Leighton Lockett. Mm-hmm. He's the one that showed me what a passionate follower of Christ looked like. Mm-hmm. Somebody who was sold out to ministry. Mm-hmm. His dynamic way of speaking the gospel, but also shepherding and loving people well. Mm-hmm.
Is he still pastoring?
He is, actually. Wow, he's great. In Texas pastoring.
Mm-hmm. Now, I really want to hear what was the most exciting event in your life.
Most exciting event
in my life. And also lowest point in your life. Can you share
more about that? Well, I have to say the birth of my son would be the most exciting event in my life. The moment my son was born, there's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But specifically, maybe in regards to ministry, the most exciting event in my life in regards to ministry. I don't even know. It's literally having a church plant, everything is new. Mm. And everything is first time experiencing it. And when the first time you experience it is when it's most exciting. So it's almost daily walking in this newness of a church plant has been exciting. I'm not saying it's been the good excitement the whole time. Some anxiety, some fear, trepidation mixed in there, but walking in this church plant has been so exciting. You know, to see our 1 year anniversary, to see our first baptism, to see our first Muslims come to know the Lord and profess Christ, to see the nations coming together in our church has been just exciting all throughout.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, can you share a little bit about what was the lowest point in your life?
Lowest point in my life. So I thought about that ahead of time, and it's interesting because in hindsight, when you look at low points, it's always God's way of redeeming it. He uses it in so many different ways. My parents went to Korea for medical reasons. I don't know how many people do that, but my parents still have no insurance in America, so they fly to Korea all the time for medical procedures. And my father went because he was having issues, and so they discovered he had kidney cancer. Mm-hmm. Polyps, all sorts of stuff. I expected that, so that was okay, no problem. At the exact same time, my mom decided to get a health checkup and found out she had both breast and thyroid cancer at the same time. So both my parents are here, all far away in Korea, with both, he has kidney cancer, she has breast and thyroid cancer. I'm dating a girl that I'm looking to marry, and my life has just been like, what is going on? I thought I'd have to move, figure out their businesses. I thought they were going to die. I'm hoping they'd come back from Korea. That was a pretty low moment in my life. To be honest with you, another one that's been difficult for us recently is my son has been diagnosed on the autism spectrum. He's still young enough to be, they can't exactly place how extreme or moderate or mild he is on the spectrum yet, but that has been a challenge. My wife and I it's difficult when you have such expectations and hopes, when you want so much for your child, and to see that he is on the autism spectrum. He's the sweetest boy in the world. So try to figure out how to walk with him in that, knowing that, you know, in a given week he has 2 times speech pathology, 2 times occupational therapy, 2 times behavioral therapy, so much that he's going through. Just hoping and praying and wishing with him has been a difficult time.
Well, Lawrence, thanks so much for sharing and being very transparent. Thank you. I want to ask you, how was your experience like growing up as Asian American?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because actually I'm a part of 2 different groups. I'm a part of one group where we, a group of Asian Americans in Durham are meeting together to figure out what's the role of Asian American in social justice and the role of social issues and social conscious currently in Durham in light of the environment, the political climate right now. So I'm part of that group. I'm also part, I used to be a part of another group. I used to meet with them, was the Young Reformed Black Pastors. Mm. So kind of being able to speak in a different context and areas, it's been very interesting. Honestly, for me, growing up as an Asian American, I probably did what a lot of other Asian American kids did, is almost tried to forget the Asian element of myself, if that makes sense. I grew up in such a low minority Asian area where there were so little Asians that it was easy just to be like, I'm no different from everybody else. Kind of almost like forgetting my Asianness and just trying to be white, if you will. So I kind of grew up in that, but at the same time, culturally speaking, everybody around me, it's obvious that I'm still Asian. You know, that first time I show up to bring a lunch from home and it has kimbap in it, and you know, people are like, ew, what are you eating, you know? And then the next time tell my mom and dad that I can't have kimbap anymore, so my dad didn't know what to do for lunch, so he takes me to the gas station and says, go buy a Slim Jim and pack a bag of chips, you know? So who I was about kind of being Asianness or otherness was always a part of me, but I think I spent a lot of my time not being Asian, if you will. You know, just kind of not embracing it. I stopped going to Korean church. You know, I stopped going when I was in middle school, like I said earlier. So I wasn't around a lot of Asian people. I was mainly around white people. I was in an area that just didn't have many Asians around me. So it almost just became, it almost felt weird when I was around a lot of Asian people, actually. Like, oh, this is different. This doesn't feel right. At the same time, knowing my experience, you know, I always joke about it with my wife, but I always told my wife it's a miracle that we got married, because growing up I always said I was not going to marry an Asian girl. My whole life I grew up saying that, because I was always like, anytime somebody would be like, oh, I met an Asian girl, Lawrence, oh, you should date her. And the implicit, the statement behind that is that, or the statement kind of hidden behind that is this idea that, well, not a white girl, you know, not a black girl, not any other girl, but you should just only marry an Asian girl. So I always wanted to revolt against that. Even with my parents, they were always like, you better marry a nice Korean girl. So I always kind of raged against it. So every girl I've ever dated my whole life was never Asian until my wife. So it was interesting, and I say all that because I'm only now being in such a multicultural context and being involved in groups of people who are really kind of embracing and studying our experience, am I now truly understanding what I was doing? You know, even now was I trying to like, almost trying to hide who I was, be Asian with my family, but with everybody else trying to be the model minority, trying to be that white person, you know? And that's how you're taught to succeed. I remember my mom specifically, I don't have a lot of my mom stories here, but
that's great.
I remember my mom specifically telling me, she said, Lawrence, if you want to succeed in this world, if the white kid gets a 95, you have to get a 99. No matter what, you know? And so that was ingrained into me, you know, distinct examples of overt and subtle racism in my life. So it always reminded me that I was Asian, but almost trying to forget and to kind of be white.
So how do you feel now? Do you embrace your Asian American identity more than before?
Or? Absolutely. Okay. I think God is uniquely placed. There's a role and a call, I think, for Asians and other minority groups to speak into the issues of race in America right now. There's almost a bridge I feel that I can play a role in now as I understand who I am and my experience. It's also similar in some experiences to Latin American, to the African American, at the same time, very different, you know? And so I think there's many ways that I've honestly recently been able to play the bridge. And I think that's a distinct role that many Asian Americans, for refugees, for new immigrants, for new race relations issues, Asian Americans could have a very unique voice in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have any breakthrough moment that you changed from hiding your identity to embracing your identity?
I think part of it was being married to my wife. I think that was a big part of it, just embracing the fact that she, very similar to me, was in a largely white context growing up. But when she came to the Durham area, she actually joined a majority Asian church. So that experience, developing a lot more friends who are Asian American as well, and building those relationships, have really kind of shaped me throughout this whole process. And also going through a lot of, I did a lot of racial equity trainings, a lot of classes, a lot of groups and studies and peer groups and discussion groups about this kind of stuff.
That's good. Now, what is your vision in your life?
My life?
Yeah.
I want to make disciples so that we can see the kingdom of God advance on earth. Amen. For His glory.
Amen. Great. So with that vision, how do you spend your life? I mean, your day.
Well, honestly, most of my day revolves around the business of the church and then the business of family. And I think in both ways I can help make disciples. I'm making disciples in my family. I'm making disciples through work. So whether you're working as a pastor or a banker or a doctor or whatever, God can also call you to do your work excellent and make disciples through that. So I think most of my day revolves around my family and my work. I try to build relationships and to nurture relationships elsewhere in regards to making disciples, but I think majority of my life has to kind of revolve around those two things.
Well, thanks so much for sharing today. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you, and I will see you in the next episode.